Good evening. So good to be here. And I guess you heard a lot about West Virginia. So I'm here. So we were there and we had an amazing time. We were so blessed to see really so many people coming from here and other places, and just to be together and just knock on doors, have fellowship, the word, the prayer. And that was amazing, because that was the body of Christ in action. And you know, really, it was really so good, such a great time. And I think every door we knock on was important. It was important for us, and it was important for them. So just to think about this, one thing what I saw with the people knocking on door, you know, in different places, like people opening the door, and then, you know, many Christians, and I was thinking about this passage in 2 Kings chapter 4 with this woman who was a widow. She was a wife of a prophet, and she had a need. And she comes to the prophet, and she says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" And, you know, people opening the doors, and you tell them something, and they said, you know, "There is death in my life. There is death in my house. There is death and death. And I am in trouble." And, you know, it's interesting to see that the Spirit of God is leading us to encourage the believers. And then, you know, we led people to Christ, and then we led Christians, you know, to think about this. Like Elijah is talking to this woman and said, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing." You know, so many people think, "I have nothing." But then she says, "But I have a jar of oil." And you know, this is like thinking about this. We tell people, "Hey, you have a jar of oil. You have the Holy Spirit. You have forgiveness. You have the love of God. You have the grace of God." Yes, I can look at debt. I can look at my debt. I can look at the creditors. I can look that there is so much darkness in my life, in this world. Or I can look at the jar of oil. That's something very precious. And then he said in verse 3, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few." How many? 7.5 billion. 7.5 billion vessels, maybe more. Not go and bring the vessels. And then go in your home. Close the door. And your Father, who is in secret, will see you. He will hear you. He will answer you. Fill the vessels. And you know what? How many vessels she brought in the house? That's how much oil she had. And then she said, "Look, I have so much oil." And he said, "Go and sell it." And they leave with the rest of it. You know, our life, it's not in the sin. It's not in this world. But it's in the gospel. We live by the gospel. This is our walk today. This is our life. Christ said, "You know what? I have all authority on heaven and earth, and I'm sending you with this authority. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Go and pour. Go and pour in the vessels. Go and bring this, what you have, to other people." And you know, when we go and we receive the oil, and there we receive, and from what we receive, we are like David who says that my cup runs over. And we have so much to give. And I know that when the last vessel will be filled, there will be the trumpet and there will be the great reunion. And I know it will come. But right now, my attention is not on the debt. It's not in the creditors. It's not on my need, but it's on Christ. It's on the Holy Spirit. It's on the Father. And we walk with Him. We walk and we go and we bring this amazing life what we have to other people. So thank you so much for your prayers. On Tuesday, I'm going back home, ready to go home. So going to Moldova and then to Romania. And then, I don't know, we'll see. Wherever God leads, wherever vessels are, right? So thank you, Lord. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's great to be here, and wow, have you noticed that we're living in very strange and crazy times? I mean, really, it's crazy. Everywhere you turn, there's something new. We're waiting every week for something new. There's so many voices, opinions, people trying to dictate what we can and we cannot do. Well, I'm getting tired of it, you know? I mean, really, come on, you know, we're kind of in this together, right? Hey, it seems like there's messages on every side that's saying like, no, that door's closed. No. Okay, how about here? No, that one's closed too. Let me try over here. How about that? Forget that one. That's not only closed, it's locked down, right? This door is locked down. There's like all kinds of noise that's going out and trying to like dictate to us. And it's like, okay, well, where can I find an answer? Where can I get some like direction? And then the Bible, right? It's right in front of us. Wow. So, Lord, really, hey, we just thank you. Lord, will you bless this time in a very special way? Will you give all of us an unction that would just go after you with all of our heart? And I just pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians 16, this is awesome. There is a great and effectual door that is right before you, right? Verse 9. It's not locked down. It's an effectual door that is before you. And guess what? Hundreds of us have been like taking that door and opening the door, and we are like going all over the place. We started with a few weeks going downtown and just ministering. I mean, lots of people went downtown. And then people started going throughout like all the United States, like 30, 40, 50, even more people going into a city to just share the word. Wow, it's so beautiful. And then some people were, is Pastor Peter back? Pastor Pete? I don't think he's back. Some people are going like overseas. Are you kidding me? In these times, these crazy times, going overseas? Why not? The door is effectual. It's going to produce an effect of the gospel wherever we go. And so we have a great opportunity today. We're going to have a group come up after the message. And we're going to have probably like down in Colombia, in Bogota, and also in Medellin, we have about 24 people that are going down this next week. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord, huh? Come on. Hey, you know what's really exciting about that? They don't require a COVID test. Wow. I'm sure if many of you knew that, you might have said, I'm jumping on that one, right? You know, it's like, can you imagine making a decision to go on the mission field if you're going to take a COVID test or not? Come on, it's... You know, so, hey, here's the thing. This is what we have. We start hearing of all these stories, and it's actually in the book of Acts, it talks about this in Acts 14:27. It says that after they came back in, that they gathered all the people into the church, such as we have right here. And then it says that, and they told them all the things that God and how God used them. It was incredible. You take a step, God's going to use you. He's going to do it. I'm telling you, he's doing it. There's doors all over the place. He's going to open those. And the second part of that verse, it just says that there was a door of faith that was open to them, to the Gentiles. Wow, so we have an effective door that is open. We have a door of faith that is that God will provide for us to be able to walk through. But in 1 Corinthians 16:9, there is a B part to that verse, right? There's a great and effectual door open to you, and there are many adversaries. Yeah. Now, we know that we have an enemy. We know that for the most part, he doesn't come to us in full metal jacket like, you know, a demonic attack. And he's much more deceptive than that, right? You know, it's the little nuances that come into our life. And, you know, I can't go into the levels of you know, the attacks on those types of things, but for sure there is a noise pollution concerning the world system. You know, I was on an airplane one time, and the noise was in there. You know that hum in an airplane? It's a zzz, zzz, you know, and then people are talking, the baby is squawking. I mean, everything is happening, right? And this guy sitting next to me, like, peace is all over his face, and he's wearing these headphones. And I asked him, he said, no, these are noise counseling headphones. And I said, wow, can I try those? And when I put them on, it was just like, I mean, there was nothing. It was amazing, right? I couldn't believe that they came up with that technology to do that. And I'm thinking, wow, we need spiritual noise counseling headphones, you know, to take really the you know, the world system and all that it's doing. We need to somehow cancel that out. And then I'm reading in the Word, and there it is, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I don't know. I don't quite get the correlation there, Pastor Brent. What are you talking about? Yeah. When we come to the house of the Lord, the Word's going to be opened up. We're going to be able to hear things that's going to have divine truth, and it's going to cancel the noise of the world system that continually tries to tell us where to go, who to be with, when to speak, and when not to. Huh. Yeah, that's right. You know, and so what happens? He said, "Listen, the gospel is pure. My life here, everything is there." And so, when we come out of this, what we see is that when we go through these doors that God has, he meets us right there. He just meets us, and he said, okay, hey, you went through the door of faith. Come on with me. We're going for a ride. And then he takes us, right? We scoot right on over to Revelation 4:1, and he says, get into the elevator of grace, because there's a door in heaven. It's already open, and it's waiting for you. And you can have a divine perspective. You can actually live in the upper room. You can have this kind of life. And doors all over the place are going to open. So when we're going down to Medellin and we're going to Bogota, there's doors of faith. Hey, we have a body here that is behind us, that's praying for us. And guess what? We're going to come back here, and we're going to be able to tell of all the things that God did with us and how he opened up these effectual doors, and how people just responded to the gospel, got saved, how people were ministered with the life of the finished work. And I tell you, it's such a blessing. And we have down in Medellin, we have a group of people down there. They're doing all kinds of groundwork for us, and maybe they're watching online, I'm not sure, but hey, we're coming. God bless you. Thanks for all the work that you've done, and wow, we just love it that we have a Greater Grace body going into all the world. Thank you.
Okay, this is the offering. Just keep in prayer, Pastor Mike Williams. I remember 44 years ago, I walked into a Marriott hotel into a meeting with about five or six people, and he was standing at the door. And he said, "Welcome to the Bible Speaks." And I'll never forget it, you know. And he was dressed. I had a suit. My brother and I had these dark suits on. We didn't know what to do, you know. But really, Father, we pray for Pastor Mike right now that you would just heal and touch and give him that ability to just breathe normally and really minister to him. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the offering, and this is a great church. Give yourselves a hand. You're a great church. And a great church gives. A great church gives. And I know a lot about what goes on with the missions aspect of it. And seeing how much we give towards missions on a yearly basis, you would be shocked to know what the church gives to missions around the world. Having 768 churches, I can imagine in your mind, you could think how much money that takes. 768 churches in 80 countries. And it all starts here. Vision here, base of operation here, giving here, promotion of the vision, visits to all these different places. And just think about that when you're giving. When you give in the offering, I want you to picture in your mind a little older lady walking down a street in Azerbaijan and somebody hands her a tract. I want you to think about somebody in an African village that has really been oppressed by demonic influence in the village, and somebody gives them the gospel and they get saved and their whole family. And somebody is on a street in Arkansas or in West Virginia, and somebody walks up and speaks to them, gives them a message about the gospel, and maybe it's there they receive or they do it later. Or somebody's in South America, in some large city in South America, or in the place that they're going to in Colombia, and maybe they have a drug problem, maybe something's going on in their family, and somebody gives them the message of the gospel and speaks to them. And wherever it may be, it may be in India, or maybe in the mountains of Nepal, and there's these people that seem to be very insignificant to anyone, and all of a sudden, because they're so significant to God, somebody's there with a message. And that message is coming from the ministry of Jesus Christ and the ministry of greater grace. And that's really amazing. And what can take place in a family? And what can happen when somebody gets saved and it just goes right down the line from generation to generation, from village to village, from city to city? This is what our ministry does. And it's amazing to be a part of it and to be able to give. And not just, okay, given the offering tonight, consider even missions. Like, God, what will you have me to do when it comes to missions? Is it possible to support someone? You'd be amazed at how little it takes to support a pastor in some places. So as we give in the offering tonight, and as we think about giving, really think about the vision that God has given us, 780 churches around the world. Somebody just has an amazing faith in Maine, and the vision takes place, and the vision begins to be nurtured, and it grows, and before you know it. And, you know, I have this great desire to see us hit 1,000 churches very soon. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes, 1,000 churches in 100 countries. Yeah, and that's just, what a great opportunity we have. And by the way, many times I find in myself, vision and missions takes me out of all of what I think are problems. I think I got all these things that I need to do this, do that. This is wrong. Can I change that? How about this? What about that relationship? You know what? When I just think about lost people, I was thinking about lost people. Tuesday nights we go out, by the way. 6 o'clock we'll be leaving from here, going to Pastor James Bryson's church up in, what's the name of that place? Edgewood. To bring the gospel to Edgewood. We go out many times during the week, Friday afternoons, Saturday mornings, and it is a great privilege to communicate to people just a simple message. Here's a message from God. You know, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus can change you. Wow. Be surprised. People don't hear it. People hear about the gospel. Maybe it's a television thing and they watch it. But when you're face to face with another person and you're giving him a message. And it's just a simple, good, glad, great, godly message of the gospel. And they respond to the message. Maybe they respond at that point. Maybe they respond later. What an opportunity. When I thought about this, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Do you imagine that God thinks that one soul is worth more than all that the world has to offer? That's really something else. Think about that. It's amazing how the devil tried to get Jesus to bow down and worship him, and he said, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. He never flinched. It was like sparks on water. So as we give tonight, we're giving to a ministry. We're giving towards the purpose and plan of the gospel that many churches have, and we're a part of it, going into all the world, and people are set free. And there'll be people that will talk to you in heaven that you never even imagined. You don't even know who they are, where they came from, but they'll say, thank you for giving. Amen? Father, bless the offering tonight. God, thank you for a church that gives. Grace giving. And the gospel is going. Grace giving and the gospel is going. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you tonight. We thank you for you saved us by grace. It's a gift of God. And you've given us a mouth and feet. A mouth to speak the words and a feet to walk, to go into all the world. We thank you, God, for churches around the world that's proclaimed the message of the good news. Thank you, God, for every denomination that's out there that is bringing this message to a lost and dying world. 7.5 billion people, how many are saved? So we pray, God, that you would bless us tonight through the word, in the body, by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, this message is not to have anybody go on the mission field, okay? I know sometimes, Pastor Shabelli's up there. He's going to talk about missions. He wants us to go on the mission field. We are on the mission field. Amen? We are on the mission field. Take a look around. There's about 3-4 million people in this area between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. So we have an amazing mission in our country. Somebody say that 330 million people in America? And how many people like they found in West Virginia and Arkansas and these different places that people have gone to that maybe have never heard the gospel. Somebody's never explained to them the gospel. And certainly that was me, for sure. I had watched a number of programs on television. I worked in a prison from 12 o'clock at night to 8 in the morning, so you had to keep one eye on the TV and one eye on your back, what was behind you, who could be coming up. But I heard so often on the Praise the Lord Club, and I used to watch these things all the time, and I wasn't even a Christian, but I watched them, and I was like thinking, what really is this all about? But then somebody gave me the gospel. Somebody spoke to me face-to-face the gospel. Even John said it in 2 and 3 John at the end of the epistle. He said, I'm not going to write you anymore. I'm not writing you anymore. I'm coming to see you face-to-face. And those are great verses. And I love how Paul starts off. Remember, this is a city which really controls the whole world. You could almost say it could be like maybe America at some point with what we have militarily and financially. This city controlled the whole world, the city of Rome. 4 million people lived in the city. And Christians were relegated or put in places like the catacombs. They had to live underground because of the message of the gospel. They had to live in the catacombs. And if you study ever the catacombs, they're very interesting because they were like little cities underground. They had little stores where you could buy things. People lived there. It was amazing. They worshiped there, all below ground. And the only other place you could find Christians was in the Colosseum, where they were martyred. So it was amazing. So Paul is bringing a message to this group of people, and you think, wow, what they're up against. And sometimes we can think that way when it comes to a lost and dying world and maybe countries around the world that are going negative to the gospel, maybe even trends that are arising in our own country. And yet God has called us. And he says this, I love how he starts off this book. I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm called to be an apostle. And I'm separated, say that word, separated unto the gospel. That means be divorced from everything else. That's a good divorce. You're divorced from the world, divorced from the devil, and a divorce from the old sin nature. It's interesting. I'm separated unto the gospel, set apart to the gospel. Aphorizo is the word. God has selected me and chosen me, not because I'm anything special, but he separated me unto the gospel. Say that to yourself. I'm separated unto the gospel. Isn't that great? I'm set apart to the gospel. And we know in our past we've been set apart to a lot of things. Not good. Not good. In the 70s, I had one of the most rapidly flourishing drug businesses in New England. Seriously. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in the 70s. And I was separated unto evil. Separated unto doing that business to make money at the risk of who cares. You know, separated unto education. Separated, you know, unto entertainment. Separated, you know, unto all kinds of things. We can be separated unto something religious. And Paul, who was actually separated, very, very interesting, he was in a select group called the Pharisees who were set apart to the law and legalism. And then all of a sudden, God came in Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God came in. And on the road to Damascus, when he is out to pursue and persecute Christians, when he wanted to do this, every bit of his being was to destroy Christianity. And he's on his way to Damascus, and you know the story very well. I'm not saying anything that you don't know. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Rise up, it will be told you what you shall do. And I love how his Christianity begins. He's blind and led by the hand. That's the way it should stay, too. Blind and led by the hand of God. And set apart. Set apart. And as a ministry, we've been separated to the gospel. And this is incredible. It really is. But the enemy is always trying to get us. He comes in trying to get us to be set apart to something else. I love my wife, but I'm not separated unto my marriage. I'm separated unto God in my marriage. Okay, did you get that? Go easy. Go easy on me now. Set apart to the gospel. Set apart. There was a time when my wife was saved and I wasn't. She was separated unto God and the gospel, and I was still separated to the nonsense. And it didn't change her, okay? I'm separated to the gospel. I'm not only the servant of Jesus Christ, I have a calling to be an apostle, but I am separated to this message of good news. What a message we have. God loves you. God changes you. God helps you. God delivers you. God saves you from hell. Isn't that awesome? Hello? Do we know what we've been delivered from? I said that to somebody the other day on the streets, and they were just yelling and screaming at me, which is sometimes good for you, really good for you. People would abuse you verbally, and you realize how much God edifies you verbally in the scriptures. And we're separated into the gospel. I could go back and say, I'm not going to go do this again because I got rejected. You know what? I'm set apart to the gospel, whether they like it or they don't like it, whether it's received or it's not received. Whether their face is, huh, or their face, whatever they're like, doesn't make any difference to me. Set apart to the gospel. And I thank God that this ministry is separated unto the gospel. That a ministry that begins in Maine, Maryland, Maine, Massachusetts, three M's, Maine, Massachusetts, and Maryland, and we're still going. We're still separated unto the gospel. Amen. Pastor Stevens had the vision. Pastor Shallow was right there with him. He's got the vision. We got the vision to go into all the world because we're separated to the gospel. And he's saying, listen, you might be a 150-person church in a city of 4 million that's controlling the world, but you got it. You got the commission. You got the power. You got the life. You can make a change and differences in whoever you meet. And I think that's amazing. And he's giving this vision to this small group of people who are half the time living underground. Half the time don't see the light. Don't know what's going to happen. 4 million people in a church of 100 to 150. What chance do they have? Where's Rome today? Where's Christianity and where's Rome? Then we hear that about the heathen temples. They're gone. Gone. But the gospel continues and the gospel goes on. And Paul is laying a foundation. I love this. Before Paul speaks about from Romans 1:18, chapter 2 and chapter 3, all the way up to verse 20, he speaks about nothing but sin. The sin of the immoral man, the sin of the moral man, the sin of the religious man, all are under sin. But before he even begins that, he gives us in verses 1 through 16 a foundation of the gospel. If I just had to live in 1:18 through 3:10, I might be a little bit discouraged. But he says, listen, you are a what? A servant of Jesus. You are called to be an apostle. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm separated unto the gospel of God. Then listen to this commission he gives them. I want you in 1:5 to go to all nations. I want you to be in all of Rome. 1:5 is all nations. 1:7 is all of Rome. And 1:8 is all the world. Us? Us? Are you kidding me? All nations, all of Rome, and the whole world? Have you taken a look at us? Who are we? I can't even pay my bills. Who are we? God says, listen, this is what I'm giving you. This is amazing. You can bring the message to all nations, to all of Rome, and to the whole world. Wow, are you kidding me? And I think there's a lot of times that people get intimidated. There's churches in America and even around the world, even in Africa, they get intimidated by the initiations of the kingdom of darkness. And something takes place and they do not see the possibility of penetrating where they are. And that's really something when you think about it. When you think about the Hindus and the Muslims and all these different people groups in the billions of people. And the possibilities that we have as a ministry, and what's going on and what's taking place. And Paul says it, listen, not only am I a servant of Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, but God's given me this vision of all nations, all Rome, right? All nations, all Rome, and the whole world. The whole world. John Wesley said one time, the whole world is my parish. Parish, P-A-R-I-S-H, you know. The whole world is my parish, like my church. The whole world. Here's this little guy, one of 17 children in England, and he's called to preach the message, and his message goes everywhere. His message goes everywhere. It's incredible. Whole world. You look around, you say, I can't even get off my street. Neither can I sometimes. But it's amazing. The possibilities that we have. I don't want to take like the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh best. I really would love to live in the best that God has for my life. Amen? Amen. Are you listening? Yeah. Well, you know, I've rounded the corner. I'm ready to retire. I'm going to tell you about retirement. Ain't going to happen. I'm not saying you can retire and you know from your job and all that. That's awesome. But from the gospel? From the message of the gospel, we should be breathing it out as our last breath on in our dying days, whatever it may be. Amen. I got the message of the gospel. It's incredible. It's such good news. There's so much messed up news out there. You've heard it what Brent said. There's so much going on out there. We have in our hearts and in our mouth and in our feet a message that can change lives. Not us, but the message, because it's about the person of Christ. And you think about it. There's a woman at a well. Her life is changed with one encounter. There's a Mark 5 man who's got 6,600 demons in him. Woo. Hello? Are you listening? He gets delivered, and he says, go tell everybody. Don't come with me. Get out of my boat. Jesus said, get out of my boat. Go tell the Decapolis region, 10 cities, what great things the Lord has done for you. You know, I believe I can be delivered from so many things that could plague me just because of the gospel. Because I want to just get so involved. Because I don't have a problem. I'm saved. Hello? Would you dare say that? I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a trial. I don't have a difficulty. Somebody that's lost has got the problem. They're lost. They're separated from God. They're on their way to a destiny without God. Tormented forever and no way ever to change it. I don't have a problem. You know what's going on in America? What's going on with finances? What's going on with this? What's going to happen if you get to a certain age, there's no retirement? I don't care. I just don't care. Maybe I'm mentally ill. I don't know. I don't care that much about that, you know? I'm concerned, and I'm glad I'm a part of a church that's separated into the gospel. Aren't you? I'm glad I'm a part of it. Then he says this, I'm a debtor. What does that mean? Ophiletes is the word. I have an obligation to bring the gospel. I'm a debtor. God paid my debt. I'm a debtor to the gospel. I owe. You say, is that grace? Call it what you want. I have an obligation. It's in the Bible. Then he said, I'm ready. I am a debtor. Those are the three I ams of Romans 1:14-16. I am a debtor. I'm ready. You know what that word is? Prothemeo. It means I have a forward mind. My mind is always going forward. Hallelujah. We stop going forward. You know what C.T. Studd said? Backwards never, forward forever. And he said that when he was 85. Yes. 85. He kept himself so thin amongst cannibal villages that nobody would eat him. And that's what he said was one of his keys. He said, when you're working in cannibal places, keep yourself thin. They just kind of look up and down and say, not him. Not him. Yeah. I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor. I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. Just thinking about one time I was in a certain village in a certain country, and I noticed the way people were eyeing me. And then somebody said to me, do you know that this village is known for cannibalism? I said, I'm going to have them bow their heads and close their eyes, and when I do that, start the car, and I'm getting in and I'm getting out of here, because they might say yes to God, but maybe they haven't left some of their old sin nature characteristics. No. Not going to happen. Isn't it amazing? There's still places like that. There's still places like that. It's incredible to even think that way. It's incredible. But what an opportunity we have. Look at our country. I look at it and say, what a great and effectual door is opened unto me. And by the way, it says there are many what? Pastor Brent, there are many what? You know what's interesting about that word adversaries? It means something is lying at the door. Just walk over it. Just walk over it, you know? Obstacles. Walk over it. Man said to me one time, did you know that you needed a visa to come to this country? I said, no. He goes, you don't have a visa? I said, I have a tourist visa. He says, we don't keep tourist visas here. You got a problem. I said, really? Not really. I said, because God's on my side. And I went back a month later and they transferred him to England. And I stayed for 5 years, you know, it's like, why? Because of the gospel. God shows us favor and blessing. Amen? We're praying, okay? You say, I'm not talking about whether you go or you don't go, but we are here and we are in a work. And when we're giving and when we're praying and when we're participating in however and whichever way we do it, that we are just really being a part of a great blessing that's coming from God. And that blessing is in Romans 15, the blessing of the gospel. If you look at Romans 15, do you know that Paul mentions 10 nations? He mentions the Gentiles 10 times. And then Romans 15, he mentions 7 countries. Look at the vision this man has. He's just a little prisoner somewhere. Do you think his problem could take him away from the scope of his vision? Hello? Do you think his problem or anything that's going on or his reputation can ever take him away from the scope of his vision? No. He couldn't touch him. He just kept going. No matter what was taking place, maybe there's nobody there, maybe friends have left, maybe situations have happened, maybe whatever is going on, you know? But we've got this amazing message. Not only am I a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to those who simply do what? Believe. They believe. They say yes to God. You said yes to God. Hello?
You haven't said yes tonight.
It's yes to God. I believe. I simply believe. And think about the opportunities we have with people that are hurting. They don't even know this. They don't even know how to get out of it. They don't know how to get out of their confusion. They don't know how to get out of the drug addiction. They don't know how to get out of alcoholism. They don't know how to get out of the addictions to pornography. They don't know how to get out of the trouble they're in. They have no idea. They're looking like, oh my God, I can't wait. This job is killing me. I can't stand this job. I'm working among really difficult people. I can't wait till I retire and this is over. They don't know how to get out. And we got the way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 will give a way of escape. We got the way of escape. Not only do they escape from hell, they escape from confusion. They escape from trouble. They escape from anxiety. They escape from fear. They escape from human reason. They escape from doubts. They got the way out. And guess who got the message? Say it. I do. I do. I have the message. And God has chosen us, and he's given us everything we need. Creatively, God, help me. Help me to bring a message to people, however it takes place. I want to see this church double. Amen? Isn't that be great if a church doubled? Hello? Yeah. Saw it happen in Africa. By the way, in Africa, we have 16,000 people coming to church. We have pastors there that evangelize and churches that evangelize, and it's amazing. I'm not trying to say that to promote Africa. They've done that. We have amazing men of God, amazing men of God that love God and are going forward. They're not worried about why would you worry about a pandemic in Africa? How much disease there is before the pandemic even existed? Every mosquito that lands on you can kill you. You know, like, you know, sometimes I call them up and tell them about what's going on, and they say, really? 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 And I'm not trying to make light of it. I understand what happens with people. But, you know, the average person in Uganda lives to be 48. That's a life expectancy, 48 years old. You know what? I'm going to just live with God, and however long that is. So let's go forward. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go forward. Let's go forward. We're separated unto the gospel of God. God's given us a vision. All nations, all of Baltimore, all of Jerusalem, all of the whole world, wherever it may be. God's given us this incredible vision. Let's go forward with this vision. Why? Because I'm what? I'm a debtor. I'm ready. And I'm not ashamed. And let's kick the devil right in the teeth. Amen? Really. Just one good, swift, left-footed kick. You give God the right hand of fellowship, you give the devil the left foot. That's how you do it. Let's go forward. Let's believe God. Let's see what God will do. And we know what he will do with this amazing message that we have. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for West Virginia, South Dakota, God, Arkansas, God, the outreaches in Baltimore, Romania, Colombia, all these different places. We see people on the move. People moving with the gospel. It's the gospel. It's good news. It's a message to cheer the hearers. It makes you glad. It's a great message. It's a message that's good. It's a message of grace. We thank you so much. We pray, God, help us, God. You made a promise. You said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men. I can't make myself one. I don't even want to be one. In the flesh, in the natural, But I'm asking you to make me a fisher of men. Would you dare pray that prayer? Yes, you would. Say it. Make me. I can't hear you. What? Say what? Make me a fisher of men. Can't make myself. Don't want to even do it. Would you make me a fisher of men? And this little fisherman from a small little place outside of Capernaum, I saw his house on the water in Capernaum once. He took this man, this fisherman, ignorant and unlearned people. I mean, I don't even know. Imagine shaking Peter's hand. It must have been like razor blades from fishing nets. And he made him a preacher. And he proclaimed the message in Acts 2. And he preached in Acts 4 and 5. And he ended up in Babylon. And he ended up crucified upside down. This man who was just a simple fisherman. Maybe he had a lot of fear too. But God took him. God made him. Continue to make us a church of the gospel. Believers. A Bible school that emphasizes the gospel. A Christian school that emphasizes the gospel. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? The profit is in the gospel. We thank you tonight. Bless our night. If you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, simply say this prayer, whether you're watching online or you're here in the assembly hall. Jesus, save me. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have to hold everlasting life. That's your prayer, watching online. Maybe you've been watching a long time and you don't even, your attitude hasn't been the best. But tonight, you say yes to God. You're not saying yes to a church. You're not joining a church. You're letting Christ join you. This is Jesus. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He gave his life for you. He lived his life perfectly and gave his life perfectly. And then he rose again. Victory over death. Resurrection life. This is the message of the gospel. Receive it tonight. Receive him as your personal Savior. We thank you. Bless our night tonight as we continue in the wrap to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.